Lord, we bless you again. For you are so big, you are so mighty, that it is a privilege for you to come down so low to us, to our level, to commune with us, to speak to us. And it's even far greater a privilege for anyone to be a vessel in your mighty hands. So Lord, we will come under the embrace of your spirit. We'll come under the shadow of your wings. Lord, we come by the blood, by that which gives life, by that which can lift us up. For it is your purpose to have a people whom you will raise from the dust and take them to the highest heights of glory. And Lord, we count ourselves privileged to be part and to be called to be partakers of this heritage. Lord, we ask that you might breathe upon us the breath of life. Let your life come afresh to us. Lord, we ask that you may quicken us, might energize us, you might lift us up, that might bring us to the place where you want us to be. We'll humble ourselves before you. We'll ask, Lord, you might have mercy upon us. You might help us, O Lord, even as you bring us to your table. Blessed be your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This morning, I had... I wouldn't call it a visitation in the sense of seeing any angels or seeing anything, but I know that I received a word, and usually when I receive a word, I try to write it down, just for my own benefit, because I believe God will speak for himself. Amen. God can speak for himself, and he can well take care of his business. So I know I get in the way most of the time, so I'm working very hard not to get in the way. Amen. So I try to make sure that the delivery is 100% God. And Ephesians 4 talks about the cunning craftiness, and he uses the old English word, the slate of slate. I have a little book that someone wrote, dealing with all the difficult words in the Bible, all the old ancient scriptures, the way you look at it, you don't really understand what it means, but I used to have a problem. Because I used to personalize the word of God. So if God gave me a word, then it was my word. And if you didn't receive it, then if you reject the word I bring, then you have rejected me. And it was a strong issue until a few months and weeks ago when I got my deliverance. Amen. Well, I'm not completely delivered. I'm still in the process. So pray for me that I'll get completely delivered, so that I'm separate from God's word, so God can defend his word, and God wants to speak to his people. So those of us who maybe function in any way as vessels, are just vessels, and that is what it is. But you know, in a way, the vessel always interferes. Well, you know, interferes with the message. You can't throw away the message because of the vessel. Even though the vessel has a responsibility to live up. Any message from God must be higher than the messenger. That's how you know it's from God. Amen. Oh, no amen for that. Amen. Every message, how you know it's from God is that it is usually higher than the messenger. Amen. You know, so most of the time we run into problems because we are looking at the word and we're looking at the messenger, and we try to match it. You need to pray for the messenger because he has a responsibility to live up to the word. Amen. Do amen again. You know, so I have a responsibility to go back and then to listen to some of these things and then work as hard as you to make sure that I match up with the word. Amen. So I need you to pray for me, so that I will also match up. Amen. Hallelujah. So there was a word that came this morning. It's a very hard word, and I don't know why I keep getting these hard words to speak, because sometimes people misunderstand you, and then those who also receive the word also personalize the word. You know, so if I brought the word, then you think I'm coming against you. So I don't have anything to do with it. You know, so if it's God's word, you and God need to sort it out. Just leave me out of it. Leave me out of it, because I was just there this morning trying to have my bag, get ready, and then so. I didn't cause it. I didn't manufacture the word. So why should you get me into it? You know. So it's God's word. So you just deal with God and then leave me out of it. Amen. And I guess it applies to every one of us who have to carry God's word. But you see, not everybody has that understanding. You know. So we need to forbear one another. Those who are bringing the word, and also those who are receiving the word. Amen. So God began to speak about consecration. So he's speaking about consecration, and my experience is because the word that God is giving us now is different. Well, it's not that we have not heard it, but it's different. I think it is. Thank you. It's important to properly explain it. So sometimes you might find things being repeated that were probably said before. Well, the purpose is to, you know, go over it over and over so that we can understand. Because we are in the transition. There's nothing I'm going to say which you haven't heard before. But I believe that we're making a transition. And, you know, for me as a person, I've decided to move on. I have a lot of faults, a lot of mistakes. I've hurt many people, and I've also been hurt. So, you know, everywhere I ask, please just forgive me, you know, and pray for me. And just, you have to bear with my me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Brassens taught us, he said, the word of God comes at three levels. Now, I always go back to it because it helps me, and I guess it should help you, to make a change. Because, see, we need to make a change. The scripture says, in a moment, at the twinkling of the eye. Okay, some of that translation say at the jerking. That is, there has to be a change in our approach, in our focus, in our work. Now, if you don't make the change, then you will find yourself just struggling while others are flying. Now, what I find challenging is that this word God is giving to us, some other people have this word and they're working in it. I don't know who they are, but I believe that the same word is coming and some people have received it and are working on it. So if I reject the word, it doesn't really matter to God. You know what? God is giving me an opportunity to be part of what He wants to do. It's like Brother Mark was telling us, it's even a final invitation. And the reason is that, you see, this thing is bigger than you ever know, that you can ever imagine. That there is a rebellion. There has been a rebellion, and we are caught in between a rebellion. There has been a spiritual rebellion of darkness. And if you don't understand that, then you will find that it will be difficult to fit in. In fact, the only thing we can do, and that is what the church has continued to do, is to play church. And you see, God is not interested in church. God wants to put down a rebellion. There has been a rebellion of darkness. And you know, it's so strong that the devil has so de-emphasized darkness that we think we're on a holiday. That we think to be a Christian is to have a nice time and so on and so on. But the truth is that we are caught in the middle, in the midst of a great warfare. We are dealing with, Bible says, we do not wrestle with principalities and powers. But we are coming against spirits, princes, very wicked spirits in high places, powers, dominions. And these are things that operate in the spirit and are so powerful. Well, not that they're more powerful than the power of God, but it's so discreet. And they make you believe that they are not there while they control your life. I mean, can you imagine that Western society is Rome revisited, reawakened? Everything you do, everything you and I do, is what it was scripted and prophesied to Daniel, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 10, about the last beast that shall be. Everything, the way you live your life, the things you do, you go to the theater, you go to the games, all those are prophesied and controlled. And the devil wants you to believe that it is not important, it doesn't exist. But we are acting out a script. And that is why we must we must refocus. And in what I want to share today, we have, I think there should be two parts to it. The first part is what I call housekeeping, and the second part is, well, maybe something much more looking at the word. The first part is also the word, but you see, we need to look at some issues, our operations. And like Brasset said, that the word of God comes at three levels: the natural, the spiritual, and then the fullness of the spirit. And the church, we have the historical, the natural application of the word of God, and we've done very well. We've excelled in it. We've written Bibles, Bible schools, ministries, churches, and so on. And you even have another dimension which may be sensitive to you because it came out of America, and which someone called the Americanization of the gospel. It's a long word, but he calls it the Americanization of the gospel. And it's something that you can't define, but which has been institutionalized, and which is the problem of the Holy Place Church. You know, people began to have ministries, evangelistic associations. Now we're having NGOs and things like that. And, you know, those things, no, NGOs mean non-governmental organizations. Sorry, non-governmental organizations, particularly in Africa, because the governments have failed. So the third world, well, the developed countries want to deal with establishments that are not controlled by government. So we call them non-governmental organizations. So you deal with HIV, you give them aid, you do this, you do that, and it's coming to the church. And as it were, those things are becoming established, because it gives people ministry, it gives you a platform, you do this, you do that, and so on, you know. And I mean, there are people who have HIV, you have to deal with them. People are in the prison, you have to deal with them. People are in different places, you have to deal with them. And before you, I mean, without really, if we don't look beyond what we are seeing, then we'll probably may not be able to deal with the issues. And, you know, the scripture says in Ephesians 4, it says that he has sent some in the body. He has said so and so and so and so. But you see, it's qualified. It says, until we all come. So in the body, you have leadership. You have ministries, you have gifts and callings, government helps, so and so. But you see, it's also coming under that description of until we all come. Now, it's not saying that the ministries are not good. It's not saying that those callings are not good. But you see, my aim is not to be an apostle, because that would be it would be an insult on God. For my aim to be an elder. That is, my aim is to be an elder. And if you don't mind me, I would say, what a very poor ambition. What a very low ambition. Of course, the Bible says, he that desires overseership desires something that is good. It's good. But you see, it's so low compared to what God is putting on the table for you, compared to what he's putting on the table for me. How about someone wants to say, I want to have a church. I want to be in charge of a ministry so that I can call the shots. I can control what happens, who receives with money, who gets this and that. And you know, we get life from it. If you don't, I do. I like administration. You know, my father was an administrator. My younger brother is, I mean, one of the best. And, you know, I walk and breathe administration. You know, I'm always planning. Those around me, they know that I'm always planning things. It just flows out. I always have things going. But you see, those things are not the crux of the matter. But you see, there's a way in which we carry on, and then we make that the issue. And then we find, because there was a time which God tolerated that. He allowed it. But what we find now, that God is beginning to pull his anointing from those things. He's beginning to remove his hand from those things. So we find ourselves fighting among, you know, we have issues. And like someone was saying yesterday, that God is trying to say to us that we are going in the wrong direction. You know, the so-called Holy Place Church, those who came out have lost focus. We lost the cutting edge because we have majored on the minors. We have majored on the minors. The things that are not important have become the issues. And that's why the Bible says we must change our focus. We must change our operation. Because that's where the devil wants us to be. He is the master organizer. He is the master committee man. He works by committees. He works by, you know, he gives people dreams and visions and makes you a star. You know, but you see, God is not in the business of making anyone a star, but rather he wants to raise a body. He wants to raise a body. So you, when you look at the scriptures, Ephesians, let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, reading for verse 4. I want us to go beyond, before the New Testament and before the Old Testament. Verse 4 says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he's talking about adoption, and he's talking about Christ. So Christ was right there from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. Now, of course, this is a problem. Well, it has been a problem because some people have gone off, and then you have different things that have come out of it. Ultimate reconciliation, once saved, forever saved, and you know, being saved by grace. And you have different versions that have come out. And of course, the devil has seen that to take away the burden that there is an adoption, that there is something that is central, and that is the doctrine of Christ, that God will have a people. Now, who are these people? That God will take the earth, the lowest form of energy, the lowest form of life, a people who are so low from God. He said, as high as the heavens are higher than, you know, as high as the east is from the west, that's how high God is far from. I said, my mind, my ways are different from your ways. Now, how is such a mighty God going to bring himself so low to take a dust and then take him up? If not that God had a plan to demonstrate something. So God is dealing with darkness. God says, I will take darkness, and I will take it up and make it to be the highest form of light. So we are called to deal with two issues: darkness and light. Now, yesterday I was asking the question, what is Emmanuel? And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. And I said, what is the opposite? The devil in us. And of course, that is something so the image is so bad that we don't want to accept it. It's not something you want to deal with. But you know, Ramati was speaking the night. He said, I have been spoiled because I want to be like God. I believe I can be like God. Now, if you want to be like God, you desire to be like God, what are you now? Where are you coming from? Because there are only two. But the devil wants us to believe there is not two, there are three. You have a middle zone, God and devil. So that is the road we want to travel. We want to, you know, we are comfortable with having God and the devil together at the same, you know, at the same level. And, you know, that is where it's more comfortable, because I don't believe I can have the fullness of God. Now, the man who believes that he cannot have the fullness of God has had the fullness of the devil. Now, the scripture says, yield your members as instruments of righteousness, as you have yielded their members as instruments of unrighteousness. So I mean, this is a man who has served the devil. This is a house that is a habitation of spirits. And now the devil doesn't have problem with that, because he makes you believe, makes me believe that, you know, that's not reality. Because I mean, I'm a Nigerian, I'm a college professor, I'm very polished, I'm very refined, I'm civilized. I'm not talking about Americans, you know, because, you know, you are. If I'm polished, then what are you? If I'm refined, then what are you? So in America, there's no devil. There's no devils in America. Amen. In God we trust. God's holy nation. God's wonderful nation. And you see, we live in a delusion. We live outside of the world. And we're walking on clouds. And you know, it's something that I cannot hold. And then while we are doing that, the devil is busy controlling, manipulating, doing everything he wants to do. You know, this morning I was looking at it. You know, this country was formed out of rebellion. Now, you see, you have to forgive me. You know, I'm very sorry. Well, sorry. Okay, July 4th. Oh, okay, something happened July 4th. Okay, I see. All right. I even saw fireworks. Oh, really? Fine. That's rebellion. You know, rebellion is very close to God. It touches God. It's very personal. Because he's still dealing with a rebellion. And Adam was part of a rebellion. Adam was part of a rebellion to overthrow God. Amen. He told him, you will be God. You will be a God. That's your share. The devil put something on the table for the devil, for Adam. So if you join me, you will be as God. You will have the throne. You will have authority. And he bought it. So when you talk of rebellion, you see, it goes right down from, you know, in your heart. It goes down to the family. It goes down into the fellowship. It goes, and in any one of those, God will not condone rebellion. There's a man called Absalom, the best. His hair, I can't even preach on it. There's someone who has a word on that. You know, his hair, they used to weigh it and sell it. It was, I mean, you think you have a fashion parade. It started with Absalom. He was the greatest fashion icon. Everyone in Israel, they come to sit and to admire the hair of Absalom. And this guy led a rebellion. But you see, God judged it thoroughly. Amen. So the issue of rebellion is something that is very, very, very important to God. And the Holy Place Church, you and I cannot escape God's wrath if we partake of that rebellion. And the way we are going, we are beginning to lose our touch. We are beginning to lose, you know, the things that made us to fear and tremble. I remember for 3 years in our fellowship, we were arguing, is it right to have elders? Because nobody wanted to be an elder. 3 years. Some parents said, no. Because if we immediately we have elder, we are going to organize. We even refused to buy any equipment. We didn't refuse to own any property. Because we said, look, immediately you begin to own property, you are going to get into organization. We refuse to have any name. You know? But those things these days, you know, so where are we now? Where are we now? You know, so there is something in man, because God knows. But Bible, Jesus said that he knew what was in man. And because he knew what was in man, he did not commit himself to man. There is, and see, and the thing in man is a spirit. There is a spirit. It says that the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. That is in Hosea. There is a spirit of, there is a spirit to organize, to rebel against God. And it's referable to the rebellion of Adam. And it's referable to the darkness that is within the soul of man. Now, I'm going this part, you know, to just to, you know, to just lay some foundation to the fact that when God talks about consecration for ministry, it's beyond a man saying, okay, I will no longer work again, I will not be a full-time minister, I'm going to wear a collar and now answering reverend, I'm going to go to Bible school. See, I mean, all those things are so mundane, are so, it's so carnal that it doesn't even address the issue. The issue is that there is a rebellion. The issue is that there is darkness in the soul of man. And the issue is that man must break out of that covering of darkness. And it is only when you do that that priesthood starts. So priesthood is the priesthood in the spirit. The only priesthood God knows is the priesthood of Melchizedek. I mean, you say a man without father, without mother. Have you met such a man before? A man without father and mother. He doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a mother. He doesn't have the beginning of days, he doesn't have the end of days. What kind of man is that? If not that, he's a man of the spirit. It's a ministry of the spirit. And then you say that the priesthood of Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. So the question is, which priesthood are we following? Because if you are going to be consecrated to the priesthood, you must know the priesthood. So which priesthood are we following? Now, if this priesthood doesn't have any reference to birth or your death or where you are born or who you are, whether you are an American or Nigerian or you are from Greenland or Iceland. But you see, those things matter to us. Who we are, where we come from, our pedigree, am I this, am I that? So when the Bible begins to talk of the consecration that must come on the priest, you know, we need to change our definition. Now, let's look at a few scriptures. In Leviticus 21:22, it says, the high priest must not marry a widow. He must not marry a divorced woman. And he must not marry a harlot. Amen. You shouldn't marry a whore or a prostitute. So fine, when I want to marry, I make sure I follow those meet those three conditions. Of course, it's true in the natural, but you see, it's beyond that, because there are different types of high priests, is it not so? There are high priests in the natural. In fact, there was even a king, Herod, who politicized the office of the high priest. He began to appoint two high priests to satisfy the Jews. So certainly, that is not the high priest God is talking of. So there must be another high priest. And the Bible says that Jesus is the bishop or the high priest of our profession. Isn't that so? Say amen. Amen. Jesus is the high priest of our profession. So which kind of wife is this high priest going to marry? So when you talk about the wise virgin and the foolish virgin, you take it out of natural situation. So you must begin to consider it at the spiritual dimension. Now, there are some people who say, no. You are making this word of God too spiritual. Of course, You know, I will only laugh. Of course, you know what I'll do next. I'll bring out my cell phone. Okay, and that should end the argument. So anyone tells you that you are making the word of God too spiritual, you just bring out your cell phone. I said, this is the answer to your question. Amen. So you put it back. Because the word of God is spiritual. It is spirit. And you are a spiritual person. Amen. So much quietness. Amen. You are a spiritual person. You are two-thirds spirit. Man is spirit. Man has a spirit from God. He is a soul and lives in a body. So that makes him two out of three. So which one has more weight? The spiritual dimension. But you see, the devil wants us to lay more emphasis on the natural. So you spend so much time going to school, doing this, you have to work, you have to farm, all to take care of the natural. Amen. But you see, in this end of time, when God is saying we must move forward, we must review our operation, we must review our priorities, we must begin to change the way we look at things, the way we function. And one of the things, one of the areas where we have failed is in the area of priesthood, consecration. Now, when you think of a priest, the next thing that comes to your mind, that this is a man who is consecrated, isn't it also? And consecration means someone who is set apart. But you see, we are in a crisis, identity crisis, because we want to be part of the earth, and then we want to be part of the spirit also. So the scripture says that the high priest must not marry. A woman that is divorced, a woman that is a prostitute, and then a woman that is a widow. Now those are three levels of consecration that describes the foolish virgin. Like Brother Mark said, yes, they're called. The virgin is called. But only five qualify to go in. Now, some people say we are all going in. We are not all going in. Don't let anyone sell that to you. We are not all going in. The only people that go in are who? The wise virgin. If all of us become wise virgins, then we will all go in. No amen. And you are still keeping quiet. My God. Amen.
Amen.
We are not all going. Many are called. Few are chosen. And fewer will be found faithful. That is basic gospel. But you see, the devil has made sure that, you know, you don't talk about it. So you operate, and I operate on the premise that I must go in. Yes, I desire to press in. But you see, I must be found faithful before I can go in. So all that means is that I must labor, I must struggle, I must, you know, and you must go up to the mountain. So you come into the fellowship and everyone says, oh, we are all going to heaven. Well, that's, we are all aspiring to go. And there is a measure. Until we all come to the measure. In fact, even says the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Most pressing. Now, who is a widow? A widow is a man or a woman whose spirit is cut off from God. That is the spirit. He has no touch with God. He has no connection with God. Isn't that so? A widow is a man or a woman whose husband is dead. So as far as the soul is concerned, God is dead. There's no relation. He has nothing to do with God. He is completely independent. And of course, he's free to marry another one. Amen. And God says the high priest cannot marry such a woman. And when you say woman, we have been told in the morning that we need to overcome the gender barrier. Amen. Because the woman is speaking of the soul. Well, I'm sure I don't have a problem because Brassens has taught us that. Okay, so when you talk of a woman, the soul is feminine, to be married by a dominant spirit. And if you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, it shows us. Now, the picture of Ezekiel chapter 1, it gives you three levels. You had the living creatures, then you had the throne that was over the living creatures, then you had the firmament that was over the throne. So you had those three levels. And even within the living creatures, the spirit of a living creature was in the midst of the living creatures. The living creatures speaks of the four natures of the soul. And those creatures do not determine their operation. He said, whithersoever the spirit will go, they will go. Now, how can such a man think that he can be independent? If not that it's a deception by the devil to sell to you that you can be an independent life. And what I'm telling you now is just do it. Okay, isn't also the Nike philosophy? If shorts fit you, you wear it. If long pants fit you, you wear it. If you can wear your cap face back, you wear it. As long as you like it, you do it. If two women want to get married, if they like it, if it is good for them, just do it. So you find a rebellion. And someone says that American culture has changed in the space of how many years? 70, 80 years. The whole culture is completely aligned from what it was pre-1920, backwards. Because there was an agenda to destroy the Judeo-Christian values in this land. It was an agenda. It was an agenda. So pornography, so rebellion, feminist movement, they went into, and the president you have is a product of that rebellious agenda. And that agenda is spreading. Not just here, you go to the United Kingdom, it is an Islamic country. France is already far gone without one shot fired. Not one shot fired. An Islamic revolution is taking over the whole land, everywhere. And we are busy retreating because we are still fighting at the carnal level, when the devil is already in the midst of the soul, manipulating and controlling. Darkness is taking over the land. So the church must make a shift. And the only way to make that shift is to go back to scriptures. To go back, to begin to look. And when we look, we'll see the answers. And the answer is in the nature of who you are. God made the soul to be ruled over. God never made you to be independent. But the devil will tell you, you are independent. You can't be independent. So how is it that when you are born into the world, you are independent of God? But therein is the great mystery of salvation. That a man who is independent, God makes him dependent on him. Where he is, he will not do anything until God tells him to do it. That is the glory of the salvation of the soul. Amen. So God takes this man who, though he thinks he's independent, but is actually a worshipper of the devil. Because Ezekiel and Isaiah tell us that the devil, it calls him Antichrist. Now, when God was forming Christ for the foundation of the world, the devil was also planning an Antichrist agenda. He said, fine, the man you are making, I will sit over them. I will go over the signs of the north. I will sit over Zion. I shall be as God. Brethren, that is the issue. The issue is not ministry or fellowship or eldership or preaching. Who preaches? Who shares the money? Who determines this? Who controls this? Who has the greater? Those are not the issues. The issue is Christ, the government of the soul. Who will sit upon the throne in the soul? That is the issue. And that is the object of ministry. And that's why God said that the ministry has failed. Because we have not taught this. We have not even lived it. You can talk about it. We have to live it. So that is why there must be a wholesale repentance. There must be a repentance in the church. Yesterday we began, and I hope no one has thinks that we have just done with repentance. In fact, yesterday was a dress rehearsal of repentance. Oh, only one amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday was a dress rehearsal. Because we must come to the place of repentance. Because we have not followed this apostolic vision. Because the apostolic doctrine, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 13, Acts 26, and you read the whole book of Peter, John, all of them, they all talked about the salvation of the soul. So that we are not of those. Who said it? Peter. That draw back. But those who press on to the saving of the soul. So Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it. It was their song. It was something that was the basis of their ministry. So when the brethren gather together, what are we gathering onto? To train up younger brethren so that they too can become elders. In the next 20 years, I'll be old and I'll be retired. Right now, I'm about 15. In 20 years, I'll be hitting 70. See, I won't be strong. I can't be going around carrying chairs, buying food, and so on. So the younger ones must be trained so that they will take over and become elders also. Is that not the high point of our ministry? Is that not? Yeah, we're training the younger ones to take over from us as elders. So we have fallen short of the goal that God has set to us. And then the younger ones who are not elders are struggling. And they put up a make-believe. And immediately we make them elders, they say, now, I will show you. Amen. You are an elder, I'm also an elder. You have your opinion, I also have my opinion. Amen. Okay, no amen. Okay, you said it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the devil is selling wrong doctrine to us, a false vision to us. And our standards, like Bramati was saying, has been so lowered. And we have agreed we can't make it. We can't overcome. But, you know, like someone said this morning, God will yet bring a people to a rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. There remains a rest, brethren. God has a tall order. He's raising up Christ. The reason of Christ. And they say, this man, Christ. They didn't say this God, Christ. Is it what you say in your Bible? Say, this man, Christ, must suffer and be resurrected. Christ are the people who resurrect. And when you say the people that you're speaking of the soul must resurrect. Because there is an order of resurrection. First, Christ. And second, they that are Christ. And then within the man, first of all, the spirit is saved first, followed by the soul, and then followed by the body. That is the order of resurrection. So, within the church has come to the point where we have received the fullness of the Spirit within our spirit, and there remaineth a rest for the soul. The soul of man is crying out for deliverance. He said that all creation, now you're speaking about the soul, all creation, the mind, the emotions, the natures of these four living creatures, they are bound to the earth, and they're saying, this is not our home. My home is the throne of God. They are crying out. See, all creation crieth for the deliverance and manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, that's the ministry. And you see, God is saying that this is no longer what you say, you shall. We used to say, we shall. It is something that will be. He says, now. Now, we can enter in. No amen. We can enter in. Hallelujah. Brethren, we can enter in. We can enter in. But you see, the secret to entering is vision. Vision. Where there is no vision, the people follow the wrong thing. So what is their vision? What are you following? Where are you going? If you're a leader, where are you leading your people to? What have you seen? You know, there have been many spin-offs, many theological church groups, you know, that have come up out of the later rain, big rain, red rain, and so on. All those things have come and gone. Each one with its own emphasis. Amen. But God will have a people that are focused. And the Bible says that we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but those who press on to the saving of the soul. Yeah. Are we agreed on that? Yeah. Now, if we agreed on that, then we are going to dismantle the structures we have set up in our fellowships. We are going to dismantle. Because see, your words must match your actions. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, so we are going to realize that eldership is not a goal. It's not the ultimate. The ministry is not the ultimate. And all those things that we have set up are not the ultimate. Now even my agenda is not, my career and profession is not the ultimate. The ultimate is that darkness must be overcome. Darkness must be overcome. That must be the ultimate. And you know, when darkness becomes the object of your labor, then it's very easy, because darkness is within you and it's within me. Amen. So if you want to overcome, you begin to overcome what is in here. Amen. If a brother is taking adultery, fine. How will he deal with it? Oh yes, kill him. You shoot him. Cut his head off. Amen. The scripture said that you who want to bring congregation, what do? Then you should be careful. You do it in the spirit of what? Meekness. Lest you be. I say, when you remember that, you drop your weapons. And then you will be redemptive in correcting your brother. Amen. You've got redemptive because you know that you that is standing is not by your power. It's not that it's the, in fact, you are even, may even be worse than that brother. So that humbles you and we can have fellowship. Amen. You know, so if a brother is an elder, then you're not there to just look at the soul. Oh, you did this, you didn't do this, you did this, you did. I mean, so you're going to be redemptive in dealing with him. Because you are looking at your own fault, and you're looking at his own fault. So you're praying for him. You know? So we don't become ministry correctors. That's the purpose of our ministry, is to correct the ministry. Oh, no, this brother, you know, the way he brings the word is very rough. Why can't he say it nicely? Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, if you want to overcome darkness, how he says it is not the issue. It's what he has said to you that is the issue. It's not excusing how he said it. But you see, because you too know you are not perfect. A brother who is not perfect is demanding perfection from an imperfect church. That is, I'm not perfect, but I'm demanding perfection from an imperfect people. It doesn't work. But you see, you don't know how we deal with one another. You must be perfect. You must bring the word. You must go. And before we know it, we are at each other's. And you do that for 2, 3, 4 years, the whole thing goes down. And then the devil is still untouched. Amen. So we need to shift the focus to realize that there is darkness within. And that this darkness must be overcome. And the priesthood is in the soul, where you have this darkness sitting. You say, he as God, seated in the temple of God, as God, demanding and actually being worshipped as God. So the Bible says, if any man worship the beast, if he worships the beast, he's out. That is the standard. And this spirit of the beast is ruling over the soul. So the operations of the church must change. And the only way to change is to commit to consecration. I must walk in the Spirit. I must begin to see things from a different perspective. I must begin to look at things in the eyes, in the spectacles that God wears to look at things. I must begin to see them from God's own perspective. And what does God say? Brother Mark said in the morning, see a man right there in the midst of the wedding feast. Everybody says fine. God says no. He's not wearing the right garment. Because man looks on the outward, but God looks on the inward. How many times have our ministries been just focused on the natural, on the outward? So we need to begin to deal with the inward. And the inward deals with the soul, talks about the soul. You know, so he gives, he talks about the bride of Christ, this foolish bride and the wise bride. So he says, the high priest must not marry a divorced woman. That is, a man whose soul is completely cut off from God. Now, he gives you another category. He says, he must not marry a divorced woman. The first one was a widow. He's lost the husband. The husband is dead. Now, the second one, he says, he must not marry a harlot. That is, now, this is, a harlot is one who is joined to several. Isn't that so? So you find a soul that is serving different spirits, as married to several spirits. And then we see that picture in Revelation 17. See, there was a woman, isn't that so, carried by the beast. And that is the setting. So that this woman is the city that rules over the men, over nations, over the peoples. You know. So that is another situation. And God said, the high priest is not going to marry such. So we must be able to overcome the spirit, so that we can carry on. I want to look at the scripture here. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 17. He said, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Let me read verse 14. Okay, 13. It says, "And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field." Now watch this. It says, "Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So he's speaking about the dining table. He's speaking about the dining table. Amen. And God is saying our dining table must change. There must be a change of our dining table, where we eat and what we eat. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we are getting tired. Hallelujah. God is saying our dining table must change. So where is our dining table? Where is our dining table? Where was the dining table of Adam? How did Adam fall? How did Adam fall? How and what did the devil use? What was the instrument of bringing Adam down? Yes, rebellion. But what was the instrument? I wanted to say everybody touch your tummy, but don't mind me. That's what they do somewhere. But if you don't mind, you can touch your tummy. It will help you. Just touch your tummy. Belly. Amen. Why do you drive from New York to Chicago and back? You go through all the stress. Why do you do that? Amen. Why do you go to college and suffer all the things you suffer? You know, at the carnal level, this is the real issue. Huh? The belly. Amen. Say amen. No amen. Amen. You see, God showed me something. The day you win the battle of the belly, the devil is over. The day you control, and the day I control what I eat, it's over for the devil. Amen. I thought I was going to get some energy in the amen. I'm trying to wake you up. I see some people are trying to sleep. Amen. the belly. And you see, the devil saw that that was the weakest point. And you know, the emotions are like the belly. The emotions and the desire are headbound. That is the softest part of the soul. Amen. I say amen. When you are in the fellowship, what is the issue in the fellowship? What is the issue in the fellowship? Okay, in your fellow, or even in your home, what's the issue?
Emotions.
What's the other one? Oh, this is a very holy church. No one wants to say anything. What's the problem at home? What's the problem in the fellowship? Emotion and desire. That's the weakest. The emotions and the desire are the weakest. And those are the ones that are headbound. They crawl. You know, it's a serpentine nature. You see, you know, it's bound. He's saying, the Bible talks about the creeping things. The things that we have to overcome are the emotions and the desires. That's the lowest. If you look at Galatians 5:19, it says the lust of the flesh. What do you find there? Most of them deal with emotions and deal with the desires. And the problems in emotions are the things, usually things that bind a man, they bind you. The habits that are captive related, they bind you. Amen. How can we overcome this? Because see, when you overcome in these areas, then the power of the church will be restored. Amen. You know, most of the problems in the church are 99% offense related. Most of the problems in the church are 99% belly related. They relate with the belly, with the canal. Now, you see, if your emotions are bound to the earth, you have a problem. People walk over you. You know? People run over you. You're always offended. And the reason is because you have not addressed the issue of the belly. And like Brother Mark was saying to us, we need to come to the point when we say enough. I will no longer dwell on the canal. My emotions, when he says the members of my body, speaking of the emotions, the four natures are the members. Say, do not yield it as instruments. So if I come to the point where I decide that my emotion will no longer be controlled by what A does or what doesn't do, that is, I decide not to be offended. Is it possible to make a covenant and say, I will not be offended? That is a covenant. That means before you offend me, I've already forgiven you. Is it possible? That is, as the brother is offending you, you are forgiving him. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it possible? Are we going to commit to that? Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to do something. I want to take permission. God said I should do something. We're going to pray for one another. In the next few minutes, we're going to pray for one another. We're going to hold hands. And we're going to pray for one another. Amen. No, amen. Amen. Oh, we should hold hands and pray. Oh, don't respond. Amen. Right here, right here, now, in the next 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. Not with my wife alone, everyone. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to minister to ourselves. We're going to spread this life. Amen. No, I thought I'd be getting amen everywhere. We're going to practice what we preach. Love. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to bless ourselves.
Amen.
But see, it's not going to stop here. We're going to take it beyond.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is, I say, I will not be offended.
Amen.
At my brother. Amen. We didn't talk about differences. Because see, my face is different from yours. Hallelujah. So my mannerisms are different. Even the way I pronounce the words are different. The way I speak different. So we're going to have to sort out some things. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, if we're going to go forward, we must make some commitments.
Yes.
And part of that commitment is finances. Yeah, it's finances. You see, scripture says that he has sent in the church. So, and so, and so. And the purpose of that, he says, is for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the body. And the Bible says that no man goes to war at his own.
Expense.
I thought you were going to complete the scripture.
Expense.
At his own expense. Amen. No amen again. Hallelujah. So we need to repent regarding finances. That's what God is saying. We need to repent regarding finances. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we begin to round the curve and we get ready for the onslaught, God is going to set in the body. And those whom he set, they will not go at their own expense. They will go at the expense of the body. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know in those days in Acts chapter 6 it said there was murmuring. They began to murmur. And some people were complaining that they were being neglected, you know, in certain things. So the brethren said, fine, we will not be distracted. You see, one of the things the devil does is to bring us to serving tables. You know, we all get involved in table. We're at seven tables. We're all talking about business, this, and then we leave the main issue of fasting and prayer and the ministry of the word. So the brethren said, look, we are going to give ourselves to fasting and to prayer. And then they asked certain brethren to take care of certain things. So in the body, God has done that also. That he has anointed some people to function. And you know, in the scripture says, Aholiab and Bezalel, I have anointed them to build the tabernacle. It wasn't every man's business. There were specific people. God said, they are the ones that have given the gift to handle this so that the body can function. So we need rearrangements in the body. But this is not in the way of a man-made organization. But we must look and recognize the anointings in the body. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I was counting New Testament and I noticed Paul wrote half, 14 out of 27 books came from Paul. So does it mean that Paul is the greatest Christian? But it was a burden of ministry that God gave to him. Brethren, are we supporting that kind of ministry in our midst? those whom God is giving the burden of ministry. Some wrote 3, some wrote 1. Amen. Samuel wrote about 4 or 5 books. Moses about 4 or 5 books. Some just wrote 1. Some were not even mentioned. You see, one of the problems we have is that we are not respecting God. We're not respecting God's choice. Amen. Well, and you see, and in doing that, we despise God. That if God makes a choice and places a responsibility, like I said, can you imagine a woman like Mary? She wakes up one morning and she sees an angel say, "You are going to be pregnant." She did not choose to be pregnant. She did not choose to be scandalized. She did not choose to be stigmatized. She did not choose the rejection that she went through for the rest of her life. But God put it upon her. It was a ministry. But do you know there are people who misunderstood her? Was she misunderstood? Was she rejected? Are we going to do better? Are we going to do better? Are we going to mature and grow up? That is the question. Are we going to mature and grow up? Now, you see, if we mature and grow up, it's going to encourage people from our midst to give themselves to God. Amen. Because they know that they will be respected, that they will be received, they will be covered, they will be encouraged, they will be supported. Now, of course, we're not even discussing personal issues, personal ministry, because you don't even mention it. God does not talk in that way. My ministry. God doesn't talk about my ministry. Hallelujah. That language is not godly. Amen. No amen again. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Amen. So, there is a word about reorganization. There is a word about repentance. There's a word about rightly dividing the word, discerning the body. If we're going to move forward, then we cannot continue to operate the way we are. And you know, you look at the body, your body, the skin is the biggest organ in the body. It's the biggest. But you see, there are other tissues and other organs in the body that even you consider maybe critical. Okay, if you knock out the heart, it's over. But it's such a small size. One of the smallest organs is the heart. And you don't even see it. Yet it's the most critical. And Paul talks about the uncomely parts and then the comely parts of the body. So if you want to understand the body, Brussels told us, look at your body. Look at your body. And you know, God has set different things, different places, and every part, every joint is working and is supplying, and we must be able to support, you know, and give life. Amen. So we need to support ourselves. We need to support the ministry. We need to support those whom God has called, those whom God is setting apart and anointing. We need to support them. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the belly, because these are the ministries that God has anointed to say. He told the shepherd, say, "Feed my sheep." He said, "He has those who have, I've given you oversight to feed the sheep." And we need to encourage this ministry so that they can function in feeding the sheep. It's not everybody that teaches doctrine. It's not everybody that brings the prophetic word. Amen. We all can bring an exhortation, but the prophetic word comes from prophetic vessels. And the Bible says, do not despise prophesying. Amen. So we need to pray for, you know, ourselves so that, you know, the ministries can stand. And those that bear different burdens can stand. You know, so in closing, I'm going to request, if you don't mind, for us to stand and join our hands and then pray for one another. Is that okay?
Amen.
Okay, so that was what I was told to do in the morning. I'm just obeying others. Amen. So let's stand and pray for one another. Brother Craig, I think you should come here. Do you want to administer that? You want to bless him that?
Yeah, praise God. We can do that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You can even hug.
Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All one?
Oh, yeah.
All
yes, it must be all one. No breaks.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
All one, no breaks.
Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. By the Spirit, probably. Amen. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your manifold goodness. We thank you for your heart and for your mind that you have revealed unto us. The desire that we should be the people of God as a body, one man, called by your name, holy, set apart, set aside, amen, and meet for the Master's use. Lord, every member having divine care one of another, being joined, being knit, and giving of itself that which it has received, the strength, Lord God, to overcome the power of darkness, deception, amen, in every false way.
My God.
Father, we thank you for your help. You are a very present help. Lord, you said you would not leave us, amen, without a witness unto ourselves, unto our own devices, but that you would, Lord God, give forth your life. You said man does not live by his belly, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. Father, we thank you for your word. Let it be life. Amen. Let it be anointed and quickened by your Spirit, even by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, let it tear down every wall of division and separation, every power of hell that would rise up, Lord God, to defeat the church of Jesus Christ, which he has purchased with his own blood. Father, we rebuke every power, and we claim healing virtue, deliverance. Amen. Give us that ability to endure, amen, and to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Father, again we pray that your will be done in our lives. Lord God, let us not go our own way. Let us not depart from your presence. Let the power and the anointing, O God, tear down every wall, every barrier. You said you peep us through our letters. Amen. Lord, you see us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You are revealing and showing the house to the house. Lord God, indeed, change us. Move us from this place of strife, contention, confusion, doubt, weakness, fear. Move us into the place, Lord God, of the victory of the Son of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You said that every man run in a race, but only one man received the prize. Father, let us be found in Him. Indeed, let us pray one for another. Lord, sanctify this thy people. Heal your people. Amen. Every yoke. Amen. Every yoke, O God. Every burden that has been laid upon thy people, O God, in this place, this day, let it be removed. Come unto me, says the Lord, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, send your word and heal thy people. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each one. We thank you for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for everyone that has a desire, Lord, to do the work of God. What is that we must do? The people ask the Lord, what must we do to work the work of God? Father, you said this is the work of God, that you would believe on him whom thou hast sent. Lord God, Jesus received everyone. He reject no one. He received them. And he only lost one, that son of perdition, that the word of God would be fulfilled. Lord God, let us not indeed look back. Let us not draw back. Let us return unto the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Father, in Jesus' name, we commit this consecration, these matters into your hand, and we pray, thy kingdom come. We pray your will be done in our earth, Lord God, as it is in heaven. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And every heart said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Bless your name.